Dear brothers and sisters, the masters speaking through scriptures tell us that absolute God cannot be seen by anybody. The worldness or the nameless, when it came into expression, that is called world or naam, or karma, or shabd, who is the maker of all creation, that can be seen and heard. When God, actual God, came into expression, there was vibration. The vibration results in two things, light and sound. So two aspects of God, light and change, and vibration can be seen and heard. And then God in expression is the maker of all creation, controlling all creation and permeating all creation. All masters define God into expression of power as light and sound. Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light on my path." Guru Nanak also says the same thing. When you come into contact with the God into expression power, you see light comparing to thousands of light suns. And also the scriptures tell us when you want to imagine there was light, that light is the cause of all creation. Masters, when they come, they are conscious of God at the very beginning, in their childhood. They have got their backgrounds, or they are sometimes sent by God to guide the child in humanity. Guru Nanak, when he was a child, 5 years old, he was sent to the school for learning. And when he went to the teacher, he began to teach him 1, 2, like that. Then he abrupted him and said, "Look here, what do you mean by one?" He said, "Well, go on reading what I teach you." He said, no, let me know. What do you mean by one? Have you understood one? What is one?" Then he told him, "Look here, that means there is one God, who is the creator of all creation. He is eternal, never falls away. He is the paramount head. There is nobody controlling him. He has got no equal. That is why he has got no enmity with anybody. He has no fear of anybody, because he himself is all in all. Though it appears to be timeless one, but he has some existence too. But he has come out of his own self. Nobody is creator of him. That how can you find him? It is gift of God. Gift of master, guru. What is master? He is world made flesh. The world is made flesh alone can have contact with the God, into expression power. When he said, "Is he one?" So no, one stands for that something behind it. It is not one. Why we speak of him as one? Because we are finite. And we have to speak about him in finite terms. That one which stands for success in something, that is the power when it came to expression, that is the cause of all creation. So, master, give us a contact with that power, into expression, which leads into the world estate. Kabir says, well, if I tell him he's one, then the question of two comes up. He's neither one nor two, he's something, which we express by the word one or two. And Guru Arjan explained him that because we are finite, we can only speak of him in finite terms only. He is something beyond, inconceivable, that worldly state. When he came into being, into existence, he wanted one wish to be many. So that power which came into expression is called word. Naam, Shabda, and Kalpa. That power which came into expression, that we can see, of course. The two aspects of which is like this. With what eyes we can see him. So you find absolute God is wordless or nameless, and when he wanted to be many, He manifested. This primal manifestation of God is called word or naam, which is the cause of all creation. So all masters speak of him as such. In the beginning was word. Word was with God, and word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So this is, word is called God into expression power. When manifested, there is vibration which resulted in light and sound. So this is the maker of all creation, controller of all creation, and permeating all creation. So there are hundreds and thousands of names given to that power. As I submitted, God absolute, wordless, nameless, nobody seen God at any time, the wordless God, that came into expression, which is the cause of all creation, that we can see and hear. Not with these eyes of flesh and bones and the physical ears. Those eyes are different. So sages have given thousands of names of God. Some call him as Lord, Swami. Some call it as Nirala, means fearless. Some call him as Anam, nameless one, no name. So, some call it Satpurush, eternal. So there are many qualitative norms, also names also given to him. But these are the names which express that power into expression, which is the cause of all creation. So out of that, the ninth guru of the six says there are so many hundreds of thousands of names. We say we come in contact with naam, then we get salvation. Which is that now? Which is that word? Is it that word W-R-D? R-N-A-M-E? No. This is the word which expresses that power, God into expression power. So from the words, there are hundreds and thousands of names. You say, which is that word, that noun, by coming in contact with, we can have salvation. So ninth guru says, what is that name? Remembrance of which leads to nirvana. Again it says, what is that name? The repetition whereof enables us person to cross over the world of sorrow. So these are not his words. These words denote something. Unless you come in contact with that, we cannot have salvation. When you see, we come in contact, we say that is the maker of creation, he is reverberating all creation, he is the controller of creation. The two aspects of it is light and sound. So when you open the inner eye to see the light of God, and open the inner ears to see, hear the voice of God, that is coming in contact with now, will give you salvation. Because you see, that is the power work we are not. In that case, our ego is lost. Until then, we may repeat hundreds and thousands of names. In that case, we are the doer. So long as we are the doer, as we sow, so shall we reap. For good speech, good actions, good results, bad actions, bad results. So Master says, come in contact with God into special power, the demonstration of which can be given by one who is world meekness. God alone can give you contact with God. God resides in every heart. But where there is His manifest, that manifest is God in Him, can give you contact with Him. Who we are called souls. Outward expression of the soul is called attention. Now, when our attention, which is now identified with the world outside, with the body, outgoing faculties, world outside, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves, we cannot differentiate ourselves. So what the masters do, they withdraw our attention from all outside and from the body below, bring it to the seat of soul, which is at the back of the eyes. There we see we are soul. So we are of the same essence as that of God. So like knows the like. So that is the God into expression power, contacting with which it is possible only when world made flesh is a demonstration of that. So a contact, Guru Arjuna says, a contact with Naam makes oneself luminous. With luminosity varying with hundreds, thousands of suns. So we are the drop of the ocean of all attention, we are the drops of the ocean of all consciousness, we are the drops of the ocean of all light, we are all children of light. And this light is encompassed, covered by so many sheets, physical, astral, causal. On the face of it appears there is no light. Take this lamp, that is one cover, 2, 3, 4. Out of it appears there is no light there. When you take off one cover, you see some light. When you take off the other cover, there is more light. When you take off all covers, full light. So God is all light. So when you come in contact with it, you become luminous, self-luminous. So by thy grace, O Guru, O Master, open our inner eye to see the light of God. It is not the subject of the outer eye, physical eye, no. Guru Nanak was asked, what is that you see that light of God? With what eye you have seen? He says, those eyes are different, not of the eyes of flesh and bone. So Kabir also referred to the same thing as Nanak Guru said. There are myriads of names in the world, names given to God, but none of them grant salvation. The primal Naam is a hidden one, and a rare soul can know and realize it. Take the example of world I am talking of. For instance, there is water. That is liquid. In all languages, so many names have been given to express that liquid. Some call it water. In Latin, it is called aqua. In French, it is called you. In Hindi, it is called jal, neer. You see? Ab. So these are the words denote that liquid by drinking which your thirst can be satisfied. Not by repeating the name of your water or aqua like that. You follow my point? So what is that nam? By coming in contact with this, you can have salvation. When you come in contact with the light and sound principle, it will lead you where? From where it emanated, to the actual God. No eye passes, direct way back to God. For instance, there is a world. God is permeating the music of the spheres. You go on only saying, God is liberating all creation, is liberating all creation, and under you see not really liberating them. So it is just like what you say, a blind man saying God is light. So devotion now is only to worship, to this vision, you see? That is to worship. What we do? Now we keep symbols of light outside. We ring the bells. We light the candles. This is only models. Real worship is to see the light in the single eye within you. And hear the music of the spheres. Then say, you are waiting in all creation. So that is the true worship. Other worships are done at the level of senses. They are good action, of course. That will give you good results. But as you are the doer, you have to sometimes good results, sometimes bad. You will come and go. When you see that power is pervading all creation, within and without, you are not the doer, that is, that power is the doer, then you lose your ego. Your coming and going end. So everyone, Guru Amar Das, spent 70 long years in search of God. When he came to the feet of Guru Angad, the second Guru in the line of Guru Nanak, he said, everyone does worship, but on the sensual plane. Only as such, they get no result. So he been engaged in practices, reading, writing, chanting, outward expression methods, what they are. They all relate to the outgoing faculties or intellect. So they are praying God at the level of the senses. God is spirit, we must worship him in spirit, is it not? That is true worship. Now you will understand what is the true worship. What we are doing outside, these are only models made of the expressions of God. They are good actions, no doubt. But in that case, you do not lose your ego. You will have to come and go. But absorption in the Naam purifies the mind and bears fruit in abundance. You see, our soul is of the same essence as that of God. God is light, we are also light, children of light. God is all consciousness, we are also conscious entities. When our conscious entity, we know ourselves, we shake off all these outer coverings of mind and matter, we begin to seem ultimately absorbed. This absorption, the more you come in contact with God into sufficient power, all your sins are washed away. Why? Because you lose your ego. There is nobody to bear the reaping of the seed that we have sown. So, Naam, our world, is the great controlling power, you see, which controls all creation. That is the power. By the word of Lord, where the heavens made, and all the host of them, he spake and it was done. Kun fi yukun. All was there and whole thing came to be. With one thought of it. One ray of the sun. Word made flesh is a ray. And sun is sun. But that's the way back to sun. That's why Christ said, nobody can see you have done it through me. Ray cannot see the duty, sun. So that is why, you see, Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. This word, power, came out of the mouth of God. So Master said, there is God, who is the maker of all creation, universe, who is the controller of our universe and permeating all this. What is all this? Is all manifestation of God. When we begin to see our own self, when our inner eye is open. And who can open our inner eye? Some word made flesh. Who can light a candle? A candle which is already lit. So, scientists first gave out this world is the action reaction of matter. Ultimately, they have come out to say that this power is controlled by a power, this whole creation which is conscious. We are not going to believe there is one power which creates a whole deep thing. So the world is all in manifestation before us. There is no place where it is not. Why can't you see Him? The question arises. He is subtlest of the subtlest. If you see through a microscope, what you find? In the air now appears to be nothing. When you see through a microscope, that magnifies anything 700 times more. If you see it too, then you find that all this atmosphere is full of insects, microbes. Now, what happens? If one eye comes to that level, on that is magnified, to come to our level of eye, we will be able to see. So these eyes of flesh and bone cannot see. When you rise above physical body, you begin to see. If man, in man body only we can know God, it is a golden opportunity in which we can know God. In no other body. Tulsi says, while God is with us in the body, we see Him not. Then he says, fire on a lifeless life like that. Oh, to see every man is dark blind. See? In man body, that's the highest aim before us, what? To know God. And also what? Whatever seeds we have sown, karmic, that are to be paid off. How? By coming in contact with Him, seeing that He is the doer, I am not the doer. If that is how, we to bear the reaping of the seeds we have already sown? Nobody. So Kabir says, the entire world is groping dark. If it were a question of one or two, they could be set right. He says, I see all around, all are bright. The word blind in the terminology of the saints means not that man who has got no eyes on the forehead, but to the inner single eye not open to see the light of God. How that is opened by the word made flesh masters? They just withdraw our attention from all outside and from the body below. Take it to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes. When it is there, the single eye is open. You begin to see the light. Before going to such a master, we are blind. In the terminology of the saints, we are deaf. But when he gives us a sitting to withdraw our attention from all outside, we begin to see and begin to hear. So there are two kinds of worship. One is worship done at the level of senses. They are all called exotic, all called apra, which are done at the level of the outer faculties, mind or intellect. They are good actions. but that will give you good results, because these are done in the name of God. But you are the doer, so you'll have to reap what you have sown. Coming and going is not ended. When your inner eyes open, you see He is the power, He is the creator, He is the permeating all creation. He is controlling us in the body. We are not the doer. Then our ego is lost. We? Who will bear the, reap the fruits that have seeds that we have sown? Nobody. So that ends coming and going. So Guru Nanak said to the enlightened one, all are purblind. In that sense, you know, we are all blind. Very sweeping remark it is, of course. Why is it not a what Christ say, I have come to make those people see who do not see. What does he mean by that? And those who see, they may be blind. It's the same thing. We see, I am looking at you, because my attention is there. If my attention is down from there, nobody would not see. On the back, I cannot see. So it is the soul that has to know the oversoul. The eyes of flesh and bone see him not, but the master illumines the eye within, opens that eye. A worthy disciple begins to witness the power and glory of God within himself. That is function of the master. Give you something to start. And how? By withdrawing your attention from all outside, bringing it to the level of the eyes, where that symbolizes our third eye, our latent eye is open. Now reason appears, why can't we see him? Because enveloped in darkness, we strive for God by deeds not less dark. Without a master, none has found the way, nor one can do it. The reason why? Because our whole attention identified with outer faculties and mind, world, body and world. Unless that is withdrawn from there, then the eyes, inner eyes open, then we see that we come to this, that level. As I gave you the example of microscope, we become subtle, we begin to see the subtle form of. That is why, unless when one comes across a perfect matter, he begins to see and begins to hear. So this is sad, when man came to the world, God put seals on his eyes and on his ears. And when we are after his children, when we are in an unhappy state, he sends men, which are made flesh, world made flesh. They come to open the seals from the eyes and from the ear. They begin to hear, begin to see and begin to hear. So they open the eye where? Within the closet of the man body. But we draw your attention from outside and from the body below also. So body is verily the temple of God. And the Holy Ghost dwells in it. That is why Emerson said, tapping inside and going into the foxhole in the brain. We once, you see, remarked by President Truman, it was into his foxhole that he repaired whenever he wanted peace and relaxation from the high offices. That is receding within you. And there is complete rest. Their soul is revived with higher content. So Vedas called it a Brahmrudra. Fox of the hole in the brain are Brahmrudra. Perception, intention, and reasoning just help to understand the reality to a certain extent. Understanding, not seeing. At the level of intellect, but seeing is believing. Seeing with one's own eyes, the single eye of this inlet and ingress, it's little known to the people at all. the tie is within us. That is called by the rishis at the third eye, at the Shiv Netra, at the Deep Kishu, and Kai Saputra Singhai.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first 30 minutes of a talk given on 17th November 1972 at Mission Church, Santa Clara University, Santa Clara, California. Our reader this morning is Sheila Gilmore.
This morning I'm reading from Morning Talks, reading specifically Morning Talk number 5, What the Master Does for the Disciple. Help and protection is extended by the Master to his followers, just like a mother who looks after the comfort of her child. She cleanses its body, which has become besmeared by filth. She feeds the child and sees that it should not suffer from cold or heat. She sacrifices her own comfort for the child to bring it up. With all this, the child does not know what the mother is doing for it. Even when the mother is carrying the child, she is careful not to do anything to make it sick. Similarly, those whom the Master takes under his care are looked after like a child. The follower does not dream of what the Master is doing for him, but the Master does not show anything. He looks after his follower in every way for his comfort, feeding, and development. He also looks after the outward comforts of his children. All facilities are given. Even the effects of the reactions of the past, from the gallows to an ordinary pinprick, so much concession is given. So to have a living master is a great blessing. As a mother sacrifices all comfort for the sake of her child, even so does the master sacrifice everything for the sake of his children. Even when the child grows up and becomes naughty, the mother cares for the child that it should not be hungry. So whoever comes to the master has got a great blessing. Even if the disciple goes wrong, the master does not cease to look after him, just like the prodigal son whom the father never forgot. The disciple might leave the master, but the master never leaves him. He fills his followers with his own thought, with his own life. So when the child remembers him, well, it is the master who first loves us, remembers us. When we remember him, he remembers us with all his heart and soul. He's always looking after the good of his followers. He is not the body. He is the Word personified, the Word made flesh. He is everywhere. We are simply to invert inside and see what he does for us. Even if we cannot invert, he still looks after us. The worldly people are with us only so far as their purpose is served. When their purpose is served, they leave us. Sometimes people leave us when we are in distress, ill, sick, or have become penniless, but the Master does not leave us. Those who are very devoted to their parents will look after their welfare, but at the time of death, they cannot help them. They pray that God should take care of their soul. That's all. But the Master does not leave us. Even on that day, he comes along with you. So you should go to the feet of such a Master who is conversant with here and the hereafter, who can help you here and in the beyond. I was just referring to a man, a villager here. He's a cultivator, a farmer. He was growing some melons and they had become ripe. He was about to harvest the melons and make them ready for the market, but it was getting dark, and he decided to leave it until the morrow. He said to himself, "This is all the Master's. I need not worry." That night some thieves came, 5 or 6 of them. They cut the fruit at one place but could not take it away. What happened? 5 or 6 forms came up with sticks in hand and beat them one by one, and they all fled away. Next day, the owner of the field saw that the melons were lying there ready to be taken away and wondered why. It so happened that in 4 or 5 days, those same thieves who had been laid up with fever came to the farmer and wanted to know why they had done something wrong. "All right," they said, "please excuse us, we are the thieves." So the farmer said, "I am not to excuse, it is up to my master." The master looks after the comfort of his followers in every way, outward and inward. A true follower will see the radiant form of the master who is to guide you in the higher planes. If anything comes up for reckoning, he says, "All right, I will look after it." The follower is to wind up all his actions from the date that he comes to the feet of the master. So to have a living master is a great blessing. He who has got a master is better off than those who have no master. Iron, even though it becomes rusty, will not be eaten up by ants, whereas ordinary wood will. So such like people who have come to the master won't go to hell. They cannot go there. They might come back as a man, because the seed sown in them cannot flourish except in the body of a man, but they are not to descend lower than a man. But if one does it in life, why should he return at all? So to have a living master is a great blessing. He guides you both here and in the hereafter. He winds up the reactions of past karmas, and for that purpose, you must go to a master. The masters are very frank. They say, "What is the use of going to a master if a man has to suffer all the reactions of the past?" If a man goes to the feet of a lion and the jackals come and howl around him, would he not be all right? So, today's subject is, the master looks after his followers both here and hereafter. He does not leave until he has taken the soul to the feet of the Satpurusha. The follower may leave, but he will never leave. In some letters written to my master, it was said, "Now we want to leave you." The master said, "You may leave me, but I cannot leave you." I've also had one or two letters like that. I reply, "My companionship will continue. You may leave." So you see how great a blessing it is to come to the feet of a living master, the God in him, of course. How fortunate you are. Through your meditations, you develop your love for him, which is already within you, of course, with his grace. It is first he who loves us. Our love is just reciprocal. Then you are not to return to the world. Why? What for? If you learn to transcend into the beyond, thereafter he looks after you until he takes you to the feet of the Satpurusha. These things are even given in books. Malana Rumi said, "Sit at the feet of such a master who knows here and hereafter, who can extend you help and protection in the physical world and even when you go into the beyond. All others will leave you, but he won't leave you." So what behooves us now? Just keep his commandments. If you love him, well, he loves you. Your love is reciprocal. He will love you more if you keep his commandments. He wants you to be pure. Just wind up your affairs by undergoing the Prarabdha karma. He won't touch that. Otherwise a man would die all at once at the time of initiation. Spiritual deeds Draw the line within which you should work and will make you a conscious co-worker of the divine plan. When you see that he is the doer, then who will bear the fruit of any reactions of the past? So you will find that to have a living master is a great blessing, both here and hereafter. We are only to abide by what he says. When you sit in a boat, well, sit in it. Don't plunge outside. You will be taken to the other side of the river. Even if you fall out, every effort is made to prevent you from drowning. Those who do not abide by what he says, even then, he does not leave them. Once he has sown the seed of Nam, that must sprout forth. So every day you are getting something new. It is not really new. It is already there. You have to just thank God for the blessing you are having. Everybody will leave you. But at the last moment he will say, "Come on, please, I am with you." Even now, if you leave the body, he is with you. All right, that's the end of that talk, and I'm moving to the teachings of Kirpal Singh, page 423, on receptivity. Breath for breath, he remembers you. Without the master's remembrance, love for him cannot be born in the disciple. He sends out rays of love, and the disciple experiences a strong pull toward his master. This is also a gift. Even if the disciple does not set his attention on the master, the radiation goes on emitting, and the effect of this is the making of him. If he becomes receptive, then the master appears before him. Receptivity is developed when all foreign thoughts are driven out. You remain and he remains. You're working at the back of the eyes, and the God in man is also working there. The eyes are the windows of the soul, and he teaches others without any language through the eyes. The life of one who is receptive will become the abode of all good qualities. The gracious master power is the constant and nearest companion of the initiate. He is fully aware of your inner prayers and adoration. Master always holds the hands he takes. There's never a thought of loosening that tight hold. Master power will never leave nor forsake the initiate until the end of the world. He is a fathomless ocean of love incarnate. Love knows only giving, so he gives and gives. He continually sends his grace to them. When the initiate sees the master's inner glory and charm and listens to the strains of music, he or she must respond, no matter what those who are ignorant may say. This is a gift of the master. Moreover, when master initiates someone, he resides with him. He watches all of his actions, guides him further where it is needed, especially those who turn their faces to him. If you forget, he does not forget. See him present in every experience, and remember he is always with you, ready to assist whenever you turn your thoughts to him. I should also like to say a few words about the numerous personal problems which the dear ones refer to me for a solution to their difficulties. While I'm happy to give the right guidance, it should also be remembered that those initiated by me are looked after by the gracious master power working overhead, who is ever with his children and can solve all of their problems if they but put themselves in a receptive mood. In this regard, an application of sound common sense together with a calm consideration of the facts can work wonders in developing receptivity to the Master Power. Receptivity is the key which can not only solve your material difficulties, but can also unlock the kingdom of heaven within you. His words were like soothing balm on their raw wounds. The truth is that there is great power in the attention, and when one is helpless and feels that there is no hope, one will get full protection and assistance by turning one's face toward the Master. Whenever you feel lonely or lost, remember sweetly the Master and invoke his help. And if it is a time that you can sit in meditation, do so with love and devotion. The true way to God starts when you rise above body consciousness. There is no other way. I did find a friend for you, a friend who is even now waiting patiently for you to turn to him. He is constantly by your side, loving you, wanting to share your life, wanting your love, your thoughts, and faith. It is you who have drawn a thick screen of various thoughts in between you and your friend. Try to remove this screen. Then you will see a friend waiting with outstretched arms to embrace you with love, to stand by you all through this life and thereafter. Do not despair. You are much loved. If only you would shed your negative attitude and be receptive, everything would be yours. He is with you always, extending all feasible help. If we turn our face to him, he will be constantly with us, perceptibly and imperceptibly. Help and protection is always extended by the Master to his followers. He looks after their comforts in every way, both outer and inner. Even the effects of the reactions of the past, from gallows to an ordinary pinprick, so much concession is given. As the mother sacrifices everything for the sake of her child, even so does the Master sacrifice everything for the sake of his children. The follower, in fact, does not dream of what the Master does for him. He fills his followers with his own thought, with his own life impulses. When we remember him, he remembers us with all his heart and soul. He is not the body. He is the Word personified, the Word made flesh. To get the full benefit of the Master Power, the disciple must develop receptivity. It is impossible to develop receptivity until implicit obedience is given to the commandments of the Master. When you pay heed to the Master's commandments, then that is a sign that you are growing in love for him. And the more you grow in love for him, the more receptivity you will develop. When you begin to develop this receptivity, all discomfort will vanish, and you will truly begin to tread the path in the firm assurance that you are on the right way, together with the loving companionship of one who will demonstrate more and more his greatness and his power on each step of the way, and till you find that it is the very God himself who is your guide and mentor, who will never leave you until he has safely escorted you back to the true home of the Father. The more time you have in direct contact, so much the better. If not, because it is not possible to have it 24 hours a day, then develop receptivity by sitting in your rooms. If that is developed, then you can go anywhere and still have it. So the Word is pervading everywhere. It vibrates throughout the universe and is especially concentrated in the Word made flesh. One vibration from Him also vibrates throughout the universe. It is only a question of becoming receptive to it. That's all. In that way, it makes no difference whether a man is sitting here or afar. It is a matter of becoming attentive, receptive to the word or shabda, which pervades everywhere. Where it is manifest, that vibrates, and that vibration goes on throughout the world. You know who the master truly is now? Such like masters are spoken of in all the scriptures. When you come to a place where a master is sitting, you should forget everything. Forget the environment around you and who is sitting by you. Just be fully attentive to the eyes of the master, which is where his soul has its play. You must become receptive to derive the full benefit of the company of a saint. Those who come near the master and their mind is, what you say, tossing about from one place to another, and ripples are constantly arising in the pond of their mind, cannot develop receptivity. They cannot receive the full benefit of radiation that comes from the master through his whole body, and especially through the eyes. This benefit you can derive even when sitting thousands of miles away. Through a radio, you hear what a man is saying from a long distance. Through a television, you also see who is speaking. The word is everywhere. Word or nam or shabda are all one and the same. So the vibration of the man in whom the word is manifest permeates through the whole world. Those who become receptive by stilling their mind and intellect derive full benefit. Kabir says, if the master resides thousands of miles across the seas and the disciple resides this side, he should just direct his attention to the master. The word is everywhere. You just have to become receptive. When you become receptive, you will derive the full benefit of satsang. What I'm telling you is a very delicate point, of course. You may be living for years with the master and yet not develop life. Capital L, life. As you think, so you become. That life becomes infused in your life if you become receptive. You will become one, no more two. That is why St. Paul said, it is I, not now I, but Christ lives in me. This very thing has been given out by almost all masters, whether they came in India or abroad. Malana Rumi says, I am so much filled up with my master that I have forgotten what is my name, whether he is in me or I am in him. I cannot differentiate. So this is something which comes to the fate of those who become receptive. He is all wisdom, grace, mercy, and love. These qualities can be developed in you by becoming receptive, not by word of mouth. By word of mouth, you will understand at the level of intellect, but life cannot be radiated or infused in you unless you become receptive. You follow my point? Master power is always with you, working overhead, extending all feasible love and protection. A loving father would not like to see his child remain in the cradle forever. but would be happy to see the child stand up and walk, and will surely offer his hand to the child in his efforts to stand up and walk. The road is very long, but he gives his time to each individual. After all, he has great love for each and every one. What can he do? To expand our capacities for receiving progressively upraising illumination may not always be easy. But the Master is patient in his wisdom, and from out of his vast spirituality, his assistance remains forever at hand until we join him in Satchkhand, the final, ever blissful home of our true spiritual being. Man has not to exert himself, except in molding himself ethically and morally to that climax of love, sincerity, and humility, which will produce the necessary state of receptivity in him. Everything else is in the hands of the Master. Please do not grieve over your inability to be more receptive to the divine grace. Slow but steady wins the race. Fragrant flowers are fashioned into fairness, delicately, under divine will. When the sound current is strong, it reminds you that he is always with you, working overhead, extending his grace. Turn your face to him and benefit therefrom. You will agree that it is the loving devotion and the anguished cry of the soul when the mercy is invoked and one gets attuned. Who can teach you the art of loving except him who is love personified and is overflowing with the intoxicating love of God and all creation? There is no greater love in all the world than the love of God and the Word made flesh. Whoever thinks of him, reads of him, talks of him, and meditates on him will become like unto him. Know that nothing should stand between you and your Master. The more you give yourself in complete self-surrender, the more you shall receive. How wonderful it is to surrender completely to one who is competent and loving, and to feel his loving presence and grace working in every sphere of life. The more one is able to develop receptivity by keeping his commandments, the more he or she is able to feel, retain, and enjoy his grace. The Master's grace is boundless. When the Word becomes manifested somewhere, and you become receptive to it, your mind will be stilled. You can reflect your own self in it, and can also reflect God within you. The only thing that stands in the way between God and you is the mind. You are not to put in anything from outside. It is already there. When the turbulent waves of the mind are stilled, you can see your true face in it. You can only become receptive through love. The man who has love, even while sitting with thousands of people, still remains all alone, because his whole attention is riveted on the Master with whom he is concerned. This is the way that you can develop receptivity. The disciple's attention should be directed toward his Master. The speed of attention is very fast. One can judge from the force of electricity, or pranas, or life currents. They have faster speed than electric current, and the attention is faster than pranas. Telepathy has now conclusively proved how heartstrings between individuals play in unison, irrespective of distance between the two. There is a tremendous power in thought vibrations, and their range is unlimited. Thus, the sympathetic cords between the master and the disciples carry silent messages of love to and fro between them with a force that is unimaginable. I will stop there and thank Master for his never-ending love. Thank you, Master.
Thank you, Sheila, for reading for us from Chapter 5 of Morning Talks, and then moving on to page 423 on receptivity from teachings of Kirpal Singh. And we have 85 of us in today's satsang, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So it is high time, for the golden opportunity that we have got, to see the God's man body for this long, so many years, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old sitting. Have you reached God? And good, if not, hurry up. So this is the item for that.